We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. On this Saturday morning, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church and Word of Life Lutheran School, by the way, in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, you have a school?
We do have a school.
So you're selling pumpkins, you've got the Segway deal going on, and you've got a school as well?
We got it all.
Where do you find time to do
Except
all of that
Except for bananas
stuff?
And Velveeta. We don't have any of that. Oh.
Well, come over to my house, because I got the Velveeta stocked up for the big Super Bowl game.
Super Bowl
tomorrow.
Weekend this
that's
weekend,
right.
That's right.
So if you're looking for Velveeta, you can have it for a price.
Solid gold.
Yeah, Velveeta. That's right, buddy. We're gouging them now. But the whole frozen banana deal, that didn't work out. You were right about that. They're no good after you freeze them. But that's why I got to gouge them on the whole Velveeta to make up for it, man.
That's right.
Because I lost all the money on the bananas. Yeah, yeah. All right. Hey, can I start with like an amusing anecdote?
Did
Would that
you
be okay?
Did you introduce yourself?
Oh, I guess I didn't.
Everyone knows who you are.
That's right. Everyone knows who I am. I'm Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And yes, as Matt said, this is Wrestling with the Basics. I'm driving with my son, Josh, who's a young man. He's in his mid-20s. And we're driving back and forth between Freeburg and New Athens, and there's this metal factory in between, and they've got all these metal structures that they've built outside, and they have this great big tall seat. It's a great big tall chair, way up. I mean, almost like a story high, you know, and it says on it, tree stand. Oh, not tree stand. Where's the thing? I can't find it.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Driving along, there's a big metal chair.
It says deer stand.
Deer stand.
Deer stand. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, we do the bit about things dumb guys think. And so I just love to tease my son. And I said, I don't understand, Josh. How will they possibly get a deer to stand on that? How would he ever even get up there? And my son says to me, no, Dad, they put that on top of the deer. And so I'm thinking,
of course, so you can ride a deer.
That's right. It's like a big, gigantic deer seat, apparently, that you stand on top of the deer. But it just made my heart feel good that my stupid sense of humor has been transferred at least to my youngest son. Although I'm sure that will be a burden for him for the rest of his life.
Poor guy.
All right. Thank you for letting me share that little story here. Did you have a good, you know, we're already into February. I never did get to ask you, did you have a good Christmas? Did you have a good New Year's?
We had a great Christmas. First Christmas in the new church, and the church is new to us at least, Ascension, and new house as well. So the challenge was in the new house, where do you put the Christmas tree?
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, our old house, you know, we put in the same place every year, and you know, it's
and
a no-brainer.
That's the issue. This is a tradition. Wherever you put it is probably where it's going to be for the rest of
I know, and then it's just stuck there. Yeah. You're right. So it's a pretty big deal.
But we do take ours down after Christmas, Matt. I'm getting the impression that you just put your tree there and it just stays there.
If my wife had her way, it would probably still be up. She loves the Christmas decorations, which is good, and so do I, honey. But anyway, the tree is down, and we found the perfect spot for it when it was up. So we made it, and now we know what to do next year.
So you're all set, I forgot about that. How exciting it is to begin a ministry in a new place.
Yeah,
that there is. There's just it's great. It's just really fun, and a new house and everything like that. So. We're doing the Magi. We thought we'd be done with this a couple weeks ago, but it just keeps hanging on, and it's okay because it's been some really important things for us. In fact, that was the one thing I reflected on in my sermon a couple weeks ago, Matt. Everybody does commemorations, right?
Yeah.
We had Martin Luther King's birthday last month. Now we'll have President's Day and stuff. So the world understands commemorations. But it occurred to me that's what's different about the church's commemorations. We don't commemorate things simply because it's a historical event or a famous mm-hmm. person. But we commemorate events that have an impact on us. And I hope our listeners are beginning to see this story of these three wise men, magi, kings. That's a story that affects us and about what our life and faith is like. So you ready to continue that story, Matt?
You know, along that vein,
yeah.
Talking about preaching, at Ascension, we have this a partnership with Christian Friends of New Americans, a group, a Lutheran group here in St. Louis that reaches out to and cares for immigrants.
Oh, wow.
And so we, for a number of years, before my time at Ascension, we've been working with immigrants from the nation of Nepal in particular.
Ah.
So this, toward the beginning of the month, we had, we were able to baptize 21 people from Nepal, which was
kidding.
So neat.
Oh, man.
And so
wow.
I preached on this text about the Magi and these Gentile men from the East that no one expected to come, yet God brings them to the Christ child. And in similar circumstances, here are these individuals from Nepal, from the East, about 7,500 miles east of St. Louis, Missouri. No one probably would have expected them to ever be baptized here at Ascension and St. Louis Hills, you know, and yet here they are. And it's because the same Lord who led the Magi from the East to Jesus has led them to Jesus too. And so just so neat. And I just, when you mention how this text and these celebrations in the Christian church relate to us today, you couldn't be more right, because they do. And God it's the same God still at work in our lives and in the church today.
How old is Ascension? How long has the church been around?
Oh, from the late 30s. So
A German congregation?
Yeah. For the most part. Some Slovak, too, from what I understand. Right.
But yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking. When those guys formed that church, do you think they ever in their wildest dreams it would be a church of the people from Nepal?
I know. And that's exactly what I said in my sermon. I think it's safe to say when Ascension was founded, no one would have dreamed of this. And yet, here they are.
Yep.
And because the Lord has brought them here, just as he led and brought the Magi.
You keep saying this the last few weeks, and now you've given us yet another illustration. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Who said that? Isn't that Gomer Pyle?
That was Gomer Pyle. Yeah.
Well, and then the other thing.
So we need to get that.
Surprise!
We'll see if we can't get that as a sound effect.
That'd be good.
Okay, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, though. Okay, and yes, it's God and his word that leads the Magi there, that's led these individuals, our brothers and sisters in Christ from Nepal there. But we also realize it's the same thing that leads any of us to Jesus Christ. It's always the Lord, his spirit at work, his word, creating that faith, leading us to that Savior, to worship him. So it's the same for any of us, no matter who we are.
And that's what we pray for ourselves, and we pray for everybody that's listening to us, that we'll constantly remember every day we get up and we recognize that we are sinful people, born in sin, conceived in iniquity, no reason why God should love us at all. And yet the remarkable thing is he does. And the interesting thing is we're not done with the sin, are we, Matt? The lust, the anger, for me particularly as an old pastor, the doubt. You know, after you've been at it for 60 years, let me talk to your young man, young blood. If you think after you've been in the ministry 35 years, everything just kind of opens up to you and everything's worked out exactly the way you wanted to and your life is just perfect and everything, that ain't how it is. There's questions, there's doubts, there's things that don't go the way you planned on them. And yet there's this constant reassurance of the scripture. We're still God's chosen people. Everything is going exactly as he planned, just not the way that you and I planned. So, well, that's a wonderful story. That's a great story, though. Thank you because I hope everybody out there is just ready to have some surprises. And, you know, the greatest surprise of all is when we're going to die. You know, because I'm not looking forward to that, and I don't think that's going to be a pleasant experience. But after I die, boy, talk about the surprises,
yeah,
huh?
You got beyond our imagination.
Yep, the joy and the happiness and the people I love and care for, getting to see them again. Well, anyway, back to our story here. I'll pick it up, Matt. You tell us what you want to say about it. When we left, the wise men, guided not by a star, but rather by the Holy Scripture, the words of the prophet Micah, that you'll find him in Bethlehem. They've now seen the star again, and they have rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And we are told then, well, start with that verse. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, which is what they said they wanted to do. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So what do we need to know about that, Matt?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, they're at this house, for one, and Jesus isn't called a baby, but a child. So
okay.
Here they are. So they're not there at the stable. They're not at manger side like a lot of our nativity scenes portray it. But this comes a little later. Jesus is a child. He's in a house there in Bethlehem. It seems as though Mary and Joseph and Jesus took up residence there at this time, and that's where they come to worship. Okay. So just you know, I think that's important to point out.
Yeah, to get that historical detail, because I know how it is. It's the same way in my house. We got Mary and Joseph, we got the shepherds, we got the babe in the manger, and there right next to them are the wise men. But that historically speaking, though, like you say, yeah. And as we see as we read on, could have been as much as maybe 2 years later that they finally show up.
Yeah. You okay. bet. And I think the other thing that's interesting, when they describe, they go to the house, and who do they see there? The child with his mother, Mary.
Yeah.
I just think that's interesting that Matthew here, the gospel writer, mentions Jesus first.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
And we see that throughout. You know, as important as Mary is, Jesus is more important, obviously the Savior. And I think that's interesting that he's mentioned first.
And I think, as Matthew, they didn't come to worship Mary.
No,
they came to worship the child.
The child.
But Mary's part of the program.
Sure.
See? That's that tension for us to realize we are significant in God's plan. There are people, Matt, that you are going to bring to heaven. And if you weren't here, those people, who knows what would happen? Well, I'm sure God would come up with a plan B.
Most.
But you are the plan. Same for me. Same for our listeners. There are children. There are family members, husbands and wives that will enjoy the blessings of eternal life because of you. You are significant. Mary is significant. But, of course, the one who is really significant is the one who's going to get us into those heavenly places, and that is the child.
You bet.
That is Jesus Christ himself.
But yet God has a special plan, a special purpose for Mary, a job for her.
Yeah.
And like you pointed out, He has a job for us, too, in our vocations and where he's called us to serve and to live out our faith in life.
Great. Again, you've done it. You've made me think. So what was the special calling of Mary? What was the holy work that she performed here in the house with the child? What was her special holy work that she was given to do?
Well, to feed him, to change his diaper, to put him to bed. Yeah.
Here, most blessed of all women,
yeah.
I need you to change diapers for
diaper,
my
yeah.
son. Yeah, yeah. But that's the great thing about it. Yeah, these are the things that God has given us, the holy, blessed works, to do the same thing for our kids and for the people that we encounter who need our help. Yeah, yeah. So,
glamorous or not.
That's yeah. right.
That's what he calls us to.
That's the
bet.
Work. Anything else
well,
about
no,
that?
No, just that these yeah. gifts given for a king.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And there's significance here with the gold and the frankincense of myrrh and commentaries, you know, full stuff about that. But I think we can just simply say they're gifts fit for a king. And later we see that likely Mary and Joseph used those gifts to help provide for their family and to raise Jesus. They weren't this wealthy family by any stretch of the means, just the opposite. But yet, when they go to Egypt and then return and finally go to Nazareth, I think we can safely assume they used these gifts to be able to raise Jesus in a safe place, safe from Herod, who kind of goes berserk and crazy after this, seeking to kill the king of the Jews.
And see, there you go again. So we are wont to judge God's love for us by how much stuff we have. Oh. We've got the gold, we got the frankincense. Well, I guess we must be beloved by the Lord. Look at all the gifts he's bestowed yeah. upon us. But of course, as you wisely point out, no, actually, these are probably gifts you'd prefer not to have, because these are being given to you because you're going to have to pack up your bags and flee in the middle of the night and live in a place where you will not be welcomed. I don't think that even to this day, the people in Egypt don't welcome Jews with open arms,
yeah.
you know. So how are you going to survive? Are you going to survive off of the gifts that God gave you? So it had nothing to do with the, you know what I'm saying? That's the mistake we make. If we got a lot of blessings, we think God loves us. If we don't have a lot of blessings, well, then I don't know. Maybe God doesn't really care for us. And again, no, the only way you know how God feels about you is by what he says to us through his son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Word. And he'll give you what you need. Sometimes we don't need a lot. We think we do, but we'll get by. And other times he showers blessings on us. Well, then you better watch out, because you probably got some purpose for him to give you those blessings, not that you can just sit back and think, oh, look at all the money I got. So as a young guy, that's not a problem, right? You just probably are barely getting by, aren't you?
Yeah. But when you're established like you, this wealthy...
The kids leave, you know, all of a sudden you wonder, how come I got this extra money? Well, you realize it's because I don't have to pay for my kids anymore. They're making their own money. But you're right. It's something as a older fellow I wrestle with. What does God want me to do with these blessings he's given me? Because it's not that I would just sit on them and put my faith and hope in the fact that we mm-hmm. got this. No, there's a purpose to it, and it's something you got to wrestle with.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One other thing I was going to point out. You know, a few weeks ago you talked about how the shepherds, they go and they worship Jesus there, you know, on Christmas, and then what do they do afterwards? They return, right?
Yes.
And rejoice.
Yeah.
And you talked about how they go back to the vocations, their work in the fields, whatever their job was. And I think we see this with the Magi, too.
Ah, okay.
Because with the closing verse, it talks about how they're warmed in that dream not to, to go back to Herod, right? But then they departed to their own country by another way. So, however, who knows how far away they had traveled.
Yeah.
But they don't stay in Bethlehem. They don't stay with Jesus and his family. They don't continue to worship him there in his physical presence. But they return home. And they go back to their vocations, perhaps. I don't know if they were doing exactly what they were doing before or not. But they return home, and you wonder, did they share this message? And I think, why wouldn't they share this message?
Of course they would.
And continue to worship that King of the Jews as they depart and go back to their homes and their lives and families. So I think that's interesting, too. They don't stay there with the child, but they return.
And see, again, you got me thinking. And now they can go back with a message.
Yeah.
Because if they hadn't made that journey, they could say, hey, we saw some strange things in the sky. And you know, there's this old, I don't believe any of that Jewish scripture stuff. Do you? That's just a bunch of Jewish superstitions. But yeah, there's this thing in this superstitious book about the star meaning there's a new ruler in Judah. And that would be the extent of it. But having gone, having seen the child, having now heard the scripture that defines in Bethlehem he was to be born, they go back with faith.
Yeah.
Same way with the shepherds. See, I hadn't. Thank you, Matt. I never even saw the parallel there, but it's the same thing. You got people. God calls them. He gives them his word. He gives them a sign. And then he sends them back to do whatever it is their vocation is, but let people know there's actually a God calling the shots in all this. Yeah. This is not just random stuff that happens day in and day out, not fluke or not accident, but there's actually a program here. And the program is that we would understand we're creatures and we would trust that he is our beloved God.
Yeah, and that's what's so important to remember, too. There is a program here, and God is the one.
Yeah, maybe not here, not a rest of the amazing. We're not claiming we're a program.
No.
But we're saying that God has
God's
a program.
Got a program. Yeah. He's the one who has a hand in this and is involved with these Magi start to finish. And this is another reason why I think it's worth spending some time these few weeks on this account, too, because some have called this the Christmas for the Gentiles with the Magi coming.
Yes.
And the point being that in the Magi, these, again, unexpected guys from the East, for God to bring them here to the Savior shows us that, yeah, he is the Savior of all nations. He's the Savior not just of the Jews, but he's the Savior of the Gentiles, too, which includes you and me and all people. So this is an account for us. And again, that importance today, too, that, yeah, this Savior is for us Gentiles, for us, for our listeners, whoever they may be, whatever race their country they're from or race they are. He's their Savior, and the Magi are proof of that.
And you know, you do the Bible study, too, and Roland always likes to point out that we're going to Hong Kong, and we're going to 37 states, and I think he said there's an Australia and wherever, and that's right. Everybody that's listened to us, you just need to know God loves you. You're his precious children. That's the only thing he wants you to understand, that you would trust in him, whatever else might be going on. But before we go, though, we got to talk about these gifts, because, Matt, I mean, gold, yeah, give me gold. In fact, if you would like to send me gold, my address is found on the website. Frankincense, what is frankincense?
Yeah, it's this valuable, scent, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah. This,
yeah.
Perfume, sure.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever bought,
I've never bought frankincense.
You haven't? Well, have you ever gone in, though, to like Macy's or go to the perfume counter there and you have $40 for a quarter ounce or something? You
a know. Frankincense?
Well, not frankincense, but whatever it is.
Yeah, they're fancy perfume. Yeah, sure, right, it's
all
not
that
cheap.
Stuff. But now, of course, the crazy thing is the myrrh stuff, though, right?
Yeah.
Because the only two references to myrrh have to do with death.
Yeah.
It's what they gave Jesus to drink on the cross. I can't talk. It's the stuff they gave Jesus to drink while he was dying on the cross, and it is also the stuff they used to prepare his body for burial.
Yeah.
And so I've often thought, isn't that strange? You were having a baby shower, and someone gives you gold, someone gives you expensive perfumes, you know, expensive baby oil. Oh, wow, you know, designer stuff like that. And then they give you embalming fluid? What? What?
It's not cheap, though.
Well, that's true. It's expensive. That embalming fluid. Why do you think funerals cost so much, Matt?
Maybe a bittersweet gift in some ways. And certainly, as we read this with the knowledge of Good Friday, we can see that, foreshadowing, at least in some way, of his death.
And so there's a plan again, isn't there?
Yeah, see,
there's
exactly.
a plan, yeah. And it's not necessarily the plan that Mary or Joseph would have wanted. It's not the plan Jesus would have wanted either, because, you know, Jesus says, is there another way? Can you take this cup away from me? But, of course, he also says, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yeah.
So that's the thing we live with as Christians. We're in the midst of a plan. It's a wonderful, powerful plan that will bring us salvation, as intended to bring salvation to all those around us. But it may not be necessarily the plan that we want to walk. It probably will involve some suffering and some crosses and trials. And yet, ironically, it may be exactly those things that will attract people to the love and mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ.
You bet. I was just going to share just maybe one thing here. There's a hymn about, as with gladness, men of old, a hymn in our hymnal about these magi. And the one verse says, Holy Jesus, every day keep us in the narrow way. And when earthly things are past, bring our ransomed souls at last. Where they need no star to guide, where no clouds thy glory hide. It was ultimately talking about heaven where... in Revelation, we have that mention of there's no stars or moon, there's no sun because Christ is that light there. But that's interesting. In heaven, we don't need a star to guide us anymore. We don't need these signs. And in heaven, are we even going to need the Bible anymore, the scriptures?
Well, no, because we'll actually have the Word of God standing there right in front of us before our eyes.
Yeah, because here's God himself in his presence.
Yeah.
We see with our own eyes the Savior. And again, the whole point of the star was ultimately to give to the scriptures and to Jesus, the Savior.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
point of the scriptures is to point us to Jesus, the Savior. And then there in heaven, we have the fulfillment. There's Jesus, the Savior, right there. We see him after the resurrection face to face. And we don't need there's no longer a star to guide.
No.
No clouds hide his glory. We're there. In his presence.
But that is a really touching thought, though, because we're not there yet, Matt.
No.
So, God will give us some signs because he doesn't want us to despair. He'll never give us more than we can bear, but provide a way out. So he'll give us those signs to give us some encouragement. And more importantly, though, he always gives us the Word of God that keeps directing us to where we are finally going to find
until
our Lord
that
and Savior.
Day when we're in his presence. No, we need the Word, and we need that constant guidance and reminder of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Point us to him.
Well, Matt, I tell you what, I hope our listeners have been blessed by what we've talked about. I have just been amazed at the insights that God has given you and me to share with our listeners. And we'll pick up a new topic. I think we're ready to move on.
Yeah, I think we're ready to move on for next week as we head in the month of February even more. And look forward to that. We'll see you next week on Wrestling with the Basics.